Blog Talk Radio.
YA, it's not just for young adults anymore. Anyone who needs it who reads it knows that most YA is timeless and ageless, and not to mention, it is good for people who have short attention spans. Celebrating coming-of-age stories, YAA celebrates all ages, genders, and genres. Join us as we shout YA Yay.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of YA Yay. I'm Jeff Adams, your host, and I'm here with my co-host W.T. Prater and our guest today, author T.A. Chase.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
So many of you may know T. Oh, sorry. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
So everybody's a little bit nervous. This is our first show of YAA, but we're going to have a lot of fun here today. I'm so honored to be co-hosting a show with Jeff, and I think this is going to be a lot of fun. So thank you for hosting With One Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be doing this, and I'm thrilled that our first guest is T.A., who I know really well from GRL, but I had no idea there was some young adult there lurking in her past. And so you brought it up as our possible first guest.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's
today
my dirty little secret in a way, I guess, because I'm not sure how many people realize that I've written a couple YA books. So I'm glad to be your first guest. It's awesome.
Excellent. So for anybody who doesn't know, this, with this being our first show, I really felt that it was important for us to do a guest on here who was somebody that I wish Jeff had gotten a chance to read this book, and I'm sure that he will after we do this interview, because if you haven't read I Call Death Dad, it is not your typical YA. It is just, how do you describe this book to people that want to read it, T.A.?
I'm not exactly sure how to describe it either. It's kind of paranormal, urban fantasy. I don't necessarily call it a coming-of-age story. It's more he's discovering kind of his background, you know, where his family came from, and also how to deal with his dad, since he's never really met him before and had any interaction with him. So it's kind of, you know, getting to know your family in an urban fantasy setting.
Yeah. And it's so good. Just so good. It's
honestly
one of the best books I've read in over a year. So.
Well, wow. Thanks.
Wow.
A lot.
Yeah, as soon as he pointed it out, it floated up to the top of my TBR list because I'm very intrigued by it. What was your inspiration behind it? It's such a unique concept to me to have, you know, not only death, you know, show up personified in a YA book, but to be someone's dad at the same time.
To be honest, I didn't have necessarily an inspiration. What happened is I was actually doing the dishes one day, and Kyle's voice just popped into my head as clear as day, and he was talking about how he was going to have to go away for the summer with his dad, and he doesn't know the man and everything, and then the whole I am death line that's in the book came to me, and I'm like, well, what happens if Kyle's dad is actually death and has to, you know, and he has to learn how to deal with all of that, and then the whole other aspects that are wrapped up with the job that his dad does, because technically it is his job. So, and once that happened and Kyle's voice just kind of led me through the whole thing on how, you know, where the background story comes from and everything. So that's kind of the inspiration, was just Kyle's voice and that one line, you know, I am death. So
I mean, the thing that intrigued me about this book was the fact that I'm a huge fan of a show that used to be on, I think it was HBO, and it was called, what was the name of it? It was Death Like Me, Dead Like Me, I think.
Oh,
Dead Like Me.
Dead Like Me?
Yeah.
With Mandy Patinkin?
Yes. And, yes. You know, I saw a lot of the same snark and wit within this book, as far as particularly with the interaction of Kyle and his dad. And I think most teenagers can identify with having that same snark because, I mean, you have your main character who's had, you know, 5 to 10 minutes interactions each birthday, maybe with his father, and then all of a sudden he's going away with his father for months. That's, you know, that I would be a little pissed off if I were a teenager too. So
yeah, he didn't take it very well.
Were shows like Dead Like Me and 6 Feet Under and things like that, were they kind of inspiration for kind of that kind of mindset of how you treated death in this particular book?
Dead Like Me was.
Yeah.
So I've watched it and I really enjoyed it and everything, and also, I didn't want the concept of death to be, you know, scary or heavy. That's why you have Death, who is the guy who goes and gathers the souls, and then you have the Grim Reapers, who are the really bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want, you know, and my thought is also the what if question. What if Death had a son? You know, how would his son react finding out that his dad was Death? So that's
Well, it's funny because the Grim Reapers, I kept envisioning them as those, I don't even remember what the creatures were called on Dead Like Me, those little creepy creatures that would blink out and do the crazy, like, create all the mischief.
Oh, right, I don't remember those either.
I just
either,
kept
but
imagining the Grim Reapers being like that. So it was just kind of funny because you had this very, because, you know, his dad was a jerk to some extent, as, you know, parents tend to have to be with their kids. But he was very dignified. And then you have the Grim Reapers that are basically just giant jerks and balls of trouble. And, yeah, so.
Right.
Was there any hesitancy towards using Death as a primary character in a YA book? It's a little different from what I've seen in terms of other supernaturals, where the supernaturals are, I guess, more sexy, like vampires or something like that.
Yeah.
Drop up.
Not really. I guess my thought behind that was partly, you know, if the kids can deal with, like, the Hunger Games and those types of books, then because of how I created Death, and, you know, he's just like everybody's dad, even though he has all these other powers and this other job, he is like their dad. Like, teenagers can relate to him in a way because, you know, he's doing his job and he's not letting Kyle have fun and stuff like that. So I kind of just thought, I'm not going to make him a really scary character. I want to make him more relatable,
mm-hmm.
I guess. So I didn't really have any hesitation using him. Because I like to use odd characters in my stories that people wouldn't necessarily think would be, you know, a good main character or whatever. So I didn't have a problem with it.
I actually really enjoyed that element of it, as far as, like, Jeff is absolutely right. You don't see Death in a lot of the teenage novels unless it's the romanticized, you know, vampire. But we won't even bring up Twilight because, you know, it just doesn't, we don't need to go there. But I appreciated the fact that you showed all the different sides of it. I do want to ask a question with regards to the sex and the romance of this, because it was another thing that really made this book a more enjoyable read for me, was the fact that even though there is a little bit of romance in there, particularly when he meets Eric, right?
Right.
I think it's Eric.
Yes.
But after he meets Eric, there is a little bit of romance in there, but the romance level was very, it was moderate. It wasn't, that wasn't what kept the story going. The story was more about his relationship with his father and coming to, you know, dealing with that aspect of it. And I actually liked that. So was that, when you were actually trying to get it published, was it something that you had to deal with? Because I know Featherweight Press, a lot of the stuff that they do, it's more romantic inclined.
Right. No, I didn't have any problem. They accepted it. You know, they didn't have a problem with the level of romance or anything in it. And I guess the part of the thought I had in the back of my mind when I was writing it is, I do plan on writing more books in the series. I want at least two more when I can fit them into my schedule. My thought was, you know, they're not going to fall in love right away. You know, Kyle will have a crush on Eric. Eric's older, and,
yeah.
I mean, he's seen a lot. And so he has to wait until Kyle grows up.
Yeah.
If nothing else, until Kyle has, you know, experienced battle and everything that they actually go through so that they can be equals.
Yeah.
So it's in the back of my mind that in the second or third book, you know, there might be more romance. But they also have a lot of other things that they have to deal with. That the romance kind of has to take a back seat to the whole thing, to the whole other problems that they have to face. So, and Featherweight was fine with it. They didn't have a problem. They didn't ask me to add any more romance or anything. They were fine with the level that it was.
Cool.
Which made me happy.
I honestly loved it. The last few conversations that I've had with authors, when I talked to Allison Quesada and Kate Boehm, and when I talked to MJ O'Shea, the one thing that I've commended them on is that I love romance books that are slow burns. They're,
right.
You know, you get into it and you get the plot and you get to love the characters and you get to be in the headspace with the characters rather than rushing into a book where almost, you know, within the first 20 or 30 pages, all of a sudden you have the two main characters already having sex. And it just, it's not, a lot of times it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel authentic to the story. It feels like, you know, it just doesn't, and maybe it's just that I've read so much of that it's just gotten to the point where if within the first 20 or 30 pages, the main characters are already in a place that they don't need to be, then I'm just like, I'm done. I don't really feel the need to go any further into this book.
Right. Yeah. It's not that I don't have a problem with them having sex eventually. I mean, let's face it, teenagers do have sex. And so it's kind of one of those things where it's like I have a little bit of an issue with people who are like, don't put that into YA books, you know, and it's like, but it's a fact of life, just like swearing, you know.
Especially
teenagers
when
swear.
The kids are 17, you know, 16, 17, 18, then, you know, it's naive to think that they're not already exploring those things.
Right. So, but for I Call Death Bad, it just didn't fit with the storyline. You know, that would have been rushing way too fast, because as much as Kyle might be attracted to Eric, he has a whole bunch of other things that he has to deal with first before he can even go there. So it was just,
absolutely,
didn't fit in. So
in terms of YA and sex, how do you feel about taking it off page so that it's known that it's happened, or on page? I mean, kind of where do you stand on that? Or is it more driven by what the exact story is?
I would say for me, it would just really would depend on the type of story. For the most part, I don't have a problem taking it off page and having it implied that, you know, this is what happened and now we're moving on to the next scene or whatever. But there are some stories that the sex needs to be on the page, you know, needs to be where people can read it, just because that's the type of story it is. Mm-hmm. So I guess
if it
really
adds something, if it adds something to the story, if it adds something to the plot, if it deepens the characters, I totally agree. You know, if it's integral to the story that you're trying to tell, absolutely.
Right. If it helps give you, you know, information on either the characters or their relationship, then yes, it's necessary. But if it doesn't, then it can be off page and just everybody will know that it happened and you don't have to worry about some people getting up in arms because it's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, hearing you talk about the series that this is supposed to become, my mind immediately went to what it could be like to introduce your new boyfriend to your dad, who is deaf.
Right.
Yeah. And what that could turn out to be.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, his dad does know the guy that he has a crush on. They're all working together to fight the Grim Reapers. So Eric does know his dad, but I think once it really hits his dad that there's something between the two of them, that'll put a whole new aspect on the relationship between Kyle's dad and Eric. So there's going to be a little bit of stress involved when Beth actually figures out what's going on between his son and one of his warriors, basically.
Yeah.
I think he'd have to be more worried about meeting his mom. Kyle's mom is pretty tough, and so I think she, you know, there's that whole, you know, my dad's deaf, but you should really be more worried about my mom, you know, sort of issue with it. So
is there, I have to ask, because I'm a huge fan of this book and will read anything else there is, do you have any kind of idea as to how long it'll be before you come out with a sequel? Because this book, if I'm not mistaken, came out in 2011?
I believe so. Let me double check on that because I'm not entirely sure either. Yes.
Because you've definitely whet our appetites, and we need more of this world. We need more of these characters. So can we get that bumped up the to write list or something?
I can probably add the second one into my schedule later on this year.
Okay, that'll work. That'll work.
But that's the best I can promise because I have a whole bunch of other stuff that keeps showing up that I have to get done.
Now,
it just means that we'll be stalking
you
at GRL for it.
Yes.
Right.
Now, here's another question. Like, the other thing that really struck me about this book is that it does not bash Christianity in any way, shape, or form, but it completely takes the focus off of Christianity as far as dealing with the Norse mythology. Why did you decide when you were writing this book that that was the mythos that you were going to go into, when a lot of the YA, even if it's not Christian YA, it still has a Christian kind of feel to it? Why did you decide to go in a completely different direction?
Because when I started looking at the different mythologies that I could use, because I didn't want to use the Christian mythology, just simply because it's been done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, well, so has the Roman mythology, in Greek mythology, that's all been done a lot.
Yes, so much.
So I'm like, why don't we go somewhere totally different and start going to the Norse mythology? And it's so entertaining, you know, it's so interesting and different than the normal mythologies that we're usually bombarded by.
Mm-hmm.
And I could find characters in there that would work well with this overall story I wanted to tell. So I'm like, okay, let's just go with that. And it's interesting and it's entertaining and not much is known about it.
Well, at some point I do expect Thor to at least be mentioned. He doesn't have to be brought in or anything, but Thor needs to at least be mentioned because, you know, he is a staple within the Norse mythology.
Yes, I know. I'll have to, maybe he'll be in the second book.
Just name a character Thor and leave it as that.
He'll just be the throwaway character who shows up delivering pizza. This is Thor, the pizza guy. And we'll just let it go at that.
Yes.
You never know, maybe the pizza guy will be important.
Hey.
So I could call him Thor and go from there.
There you go.
Did you happen to have all that research kind of just knocking around in your head, or did you have to go dig into some reading before you actually sat down to write this book?
I had to research it. Because like I said, I didn't know that was the mythology I was going to go with when I first heard Kyle's voice. So I'm like, okay, now I have to go and find out all this stuff. Like, do they have spirits that I can use, you know, to represent death? Because I use it, you know, in like Valkyries, because that's what Kyle's mom is. And so I had to do a lot of research to figure out how to actually fit this story into the mythology, or the mythology into the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did, you know, a lot of research. And it was interesting.
Now, I want to ask you something about the more technical aspect of writing this, which is, when you were writing this, obviously T.A. Chase, as a name, as a brand, you know, most of the books that anybody who's listening to this interview is going to be familiar with is probably going to be the more adult book. When you were deciding that you wanted to write a YA, why did you decide that you were going to do it under the same name and not take a pseudonym? Or, you know, I think that that's a very bold move, and I honestly think that it's a great move, but I'm just curious, when you decided that you were going to do that, why did you decide to go that route?
Partly because I'm lazy. And I didn't want to have to start advertising and promoting myself under a different name, you know, having, because I already have a pen name that I write under when I write male-female stories. And then this would be a third pen name for me. And I'm like, that's just a lot of promo work.
Yeah.
So, and then I decided, well, you know what? I'm sure that they can figure out the difference between my YAs and my adult books. And I would hope that most of the parents, if they know that their kid's reading these,
mm-hmm.
will, you know, check what they're reading and make sure that they're not going to go out and buy one of my adult books.
Well, I love the fact that you're one of the few authors I've ever seen that does this, which I actually think is a very smart move on your part. But on your homepage of your website, which is thas.com, you can actually, you have a disclaimer that says, these books are hot and heavy. If you're looking for something a little bit younger, why don't you check out my YA selection? And I think that that's a very honest way to approach marketing to both markets, because you allow people to find you on the web, but you state up, this is what's going on. If you're looking for something different, this is where you need to go.
Yeah, because I was going to actually have a separate website for my YA. And then I decided, my web mistress and I decided that we should just do a separate page and label it YA, and then let people know on the front page that there is a YA selection and that everything else is adult. And it's, you know, come back when you're 18, try my adult stuff when you're 18. And I figure hopefully they'll understand and be able to figure out which ones are the adults and which ones are the YA. So I guess I'm giving them a little, you know, little credit to be able to figure this out on their own, and hopefully
you're treating people intelligently. You're telling them, you know, up front, okay, this is what I have to offer. And I mean, honestly, kids are going to read what kids want to read. You can't tell me there aren't teenage girls out there right now reading 50 Shades of Grey. You know, they're going to find what they want to find. And, you know, I've read your, in my opinion, there's erotica and then there's just smut. There is, you know, and there's nothing wrong with writing smut. I'm not knocking it at all. But there, every one of your stories, even the more adult books, they all have a great plot. They have a solid premise. And so they can be read by somebody who is not just looking for smut. So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I would agree with that totally. And we should actually shout out your other YA book, too, Pursuing Hope.
Oh, yes.
Which has two young women as their focal point and covers the much more simple ground of essentially finding the right prom date. Which is really wildly different subgenres too, between having dad for death and then trying to, you know, secure the right, the prom date with the right person.
Yeah.
You mean they're not exactly the same plot line? I thought that was exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking no. I mean, I haven't read that other one yet either, but that sounds very different.
Yeah. Well, you know, but sometimes not having the right prom date could be, you know, the equivalent of death.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's very true.
Yeah, I have to admit, I did write that just to have more of a lighthearted sense to it, because at the time, it seemed like a lot of the books coming out, YA books coming out, were all, you know, kind of heavy in how terrible these kids were being treated for coming out.
Yeah.
And not to say that that doesn't happen, because it does. But I'm like, sometimes life is simpler, and it really is just about trying to find the right prom date. There's nothing, you know, it's not heavy, it's not hurtful, it's just, she's just trying to find a girl to go to prom with. And I kind of wanted to have it just something simple like that. So that's why I chose, and they just kind of, both characters kind of popped into my head, and I'm like, okay, I can see these two together, and it'll make for a light story and simple. And
Well, we are coming on the very end of our time, so real quick, in like 30 seconds or less, TA, tell people where they can find you.
Okay, you can find me at tachase.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, at tachase at Twitter, on Twitter. And usually I'm on Twitter a lot, so, you know, I chat. My comments on different TV shows that I'm watching is usually what I comment on. So,
well, thank you so much for being on the first edition of YAA. Jeff, thank you so much for co-hosting this with me. Thank you to everybody who's listening to the show now and in the future. And be sure to contact Writers Online Network so you can find out what the network can do with you.
Thank you very much for